Wanted to be read for this. The ninth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, these things came to pass as examples to us, that we should not lust after evil things, even as they lusted, and do not become idolaters, even as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to drink, to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, even as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured, and perish at the hands of the destroyer. Now all these things happened as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. May no temptation take hold of you, but such as man is equal to. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel. is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known in this thy day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For days will come upon thee when thy enemies will throw up a rampart about thee and surround thee and shut thee in on every side, and will dash thee to the ground, and thy children within thee, and will not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, merely this morning, it is not in the bulletin. First of all, the Wednesday of this week is a feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and tomorrow is the feast of Saint Bonaventure. Several of you have asked about a blessing of automobiles, and we have never before done this, though it is certainly a very wonderful practice and custom. May we start it this year. And on the feast of St. Christopher, which is July the 25th, whatever vehicles you bring on that day, each and every one of them will be blessed. And some of them could be motor scooters for that matter. It's a matter of conveyance that has to go out on the highway, and whatever it might be should certainly be blessed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, our epistle and gospel this morning, especially the Holy Gospel, are filled with instructions. We are all at the point in our present day lives, in the lives that we are faced with at every turn as we walk about, We are constantly besieged with questions and questionable situations, situations that militate against what we know we should be doing, what we know we must be doing. My house is a house of prayer. Those are strong words. And we must look upon my house, which is, I'm speaking the word my, a pronoun is, I'm speaking as in the place of our Lord himself. My house is a house of prayer. This house is a house of prayer. And we must continue and always to look upon it only as just that and nothing else. We are today, if we look upon the situation honestly and objectively, we are honestly and truly and in fact religiously destitute. We do not exactly comprehend that, but it is a fact that our destitution is extreme, to the point that whereas once upon a time all we had to do is to go across the street or down the block and walk there and go to church as often as we pleased during the day. The church was always open. There was mass every morning. And our church in those days gone by was simply a place that we went to when devotion called us to that place. Today, this is no longer true. We all know that. Everyone in here knows that. The church is no longer down the street or across the street. It is miles away, and many miles away in some cases. It is no longer a situation where we can go in and out and make of that church, of that building, of that house, a house of devotion and of prayer, but a place where in some cases, in some places, and with too many people, it is a place where we go to in extraordinary moments and seldomly. And we find that place not in a beautiful building, a beautiful cathedral-like building, but we can find that place today in someone's room or rooming house or a filling station or a motel room or just any place that is available for one man to set up a little altar and for some handful of people to come in and worship their God. We are religiously destitute. Many ask, well, then what are we supposed to do? What can we do? We cannot help the situation that we are in. We did not create this situation. It was created for us by powers of someplace, powers who could get this situation to prevail. What are we supposed to do? Well, we do the best we can. The first thing in our daily lives, for each and every one of us, whether the church is across the street or 100 miles down the road, it makes no difference. The first thing we have to come to an understanding is what I am. What I am. And what I must come to the realization of what I am supposed to be doing. And what I have been placed here to do. And finally, and most importantly, is what is to be my final destination. Now, that might sound like too many I's in there and very egocentric. To a certain manner of speaking, it is egocentric because my first concern, each of your first concern, must be me. And how is that concern to be manifested? Today, it's interesting. Worse than ever, though it's not any different than ever, but it's worse than ever. We manifest ourselves, or manifest things, or speak of things as our own welfare, the house that we built, the amount of money that was spent to build it, we speak of the six-digit incomes that too many people speak of today, pockets full of money, property, whatever. And that seems to be the beginning all and the end all of our interests. How foolish. Remember the poor rich young man in the gospel who went away sad when the matter was presented to him as it really is. I have to know first, foremost, and last what I am and what my purpose here is and why I was put here. Nothing else is of any importance. It's just window dressing for my egoism. My only purpose is to please him who placed me here according to his intention and purpose. Today you hear tell this, even of those of us who I insist should know better, that they certainly appreciate coming, for example, to this particular church on any particular Sunday and who might say, well, I appreciate what you're doing, but, you know, I am looking for a place where perhaps they have some kind of social activity going on, because I want to, you know, I want to have some fun. My precious people, there's nothing wrong with fun. I myself, once upon a time, was in charge of fun in the school in which I was. Because I love fun. But that's not the reason why I come here, to have fun. My coming here, your coming here, has to be because of something that is very, very urgently important, and that is that I am the Lord your God. There is none other before me. Do you understand that? I am He. There is no one else. And therefore, your coming here must be only to give me the pleasure and the consolation and the love that I expect from each of you. I am your God. There is no other. And so we come here, we must come here only to render unto God the things that pertain to God. We do not here in any way, shape, or form work to present to anybody fun time. And for many of us, myself included, for many of us, just to be here, just to work this, just to do this, just to pray this, just to kneel this, requires suffering, difficulty, inconvenience, and all of the other things that stand in the way of what I would prefer to be doing at the present time, the present moment. People sometimes, we sometimes, like to look at our religion as giving us a lot of comfort and a lot of pleasure and a lot of spiritual relaxation and so forth, and a lot, may I use the word, of spiritual fun. Many of us say many prayers, even. You ever noticed that in too many cases, the prayers that we say, beautiful, they're all lovely. I'm not putting down on any particular prayer. Please do not misunderstand the way I speak. I sometimes am not easy to follow, and I know that. I'm not easy to understand, and I know that. And sometimes I don't make sense, and I know that too. But sometimes, and oftentimes perhaps even, the prayers that we speak out or read or seek out or whatever are those particular prayers, those novenas, those litanies, those rosaries, etc., etc., and etc., that we engineer, which is not sinful, that we engineer for the purpose of giving ourselves the comfort and the pleasure that that prayer gives to me. I love that prayer. It makes me feel good. I like that prayer. My dear people, we don't pray. I don't pray. I must not pray for my own good feeling. It's all right if there's some attached to it. There's nothing wrong with it. But my purpose for picking up a prayer or a prayer book is not to give me personally all of the lift up that I desire. There is lift up in prayer, that's fine. That's wonderful. I certainly don't make fun of that. But my purpose in getting down on my knees at any time whatsoever, in this church or out of this church, or any time that I sit or walk or lie down in bed or whatever to say a prayer, the only reason for that prayer, my dear people, I repeat it, the only reason for that prayer is to give that tiny little extra speck of adoration and pleasure and consolation to God. That's all. There is nothing in it for me, literally speaking. Nothing. My whole purpose and my whole prayer must be that absolutely everything I do, everything, it's good, of course, not evil, but everything I do is, what is the prayer? All, everything, all for thee, my Lord and my God. That's all. And if we can do that, then we have done what we are supposed to be doing. That is what prayer is. It isn't in a whole lot of worthless verbiage. It is not in a whole lot of worthless entertainment. I was told recently, now one of you who has just recently visited the seat of what once we could call the center of our holy religion, the very house in which that center dwells. And the impression that a visit to that particular place was this, and this is what was said in just so many simple words. It was Disney World. My dear people, our church is more than that. It is a place where we give worship to God. It is a serious place. And we must look upon it in a serious way. My precious people, we have to come to that understanding that we are religiously destitute. And all we can hope for is that what we do, what little it is that we do, is sufficient to get the attention of Almighty God. And not only get his attention, but that he becomes aware of our sincerity and our honesty. In today's bulletin, there are some little points that are printed out and presented to us for our edification, hopefully. Let us read those to see, to give us some simple guidelines as to what we must do when we are not in visiting our little church, But when we are at home, when we are far away from a church, when we are in a nursing home, or when we are in the privacy of our own boarding house room, or wherever we may be, that is not exactly where we would like to be, or where it would please us to be, or where we might be in a family situation that is all twisted and bent and turned out of shape, as too many families today are twisted and bent, that we can sit down someplace in some little corner without making any noise, that we can fulfill the purpose for which we were made. And that we go to that little place and little corner and simply say to Almighty God, in the simplest terms, I love you. How often have we heard this said here? It isn't in a lot of words and a lot of sophisticated prayers and a lot of sophisticated pilgrimages and walking up and down steps on your knees and sleeping on the floor and putting chains around your waists and putting hair shirts on, etc. It isn't in that. It's in the simplicity of my heart that is able to look at Jesus Christ eye to eye and without flinching simply say, I love you. You know, it takes a man and a woman to do that. A real man and a real woman to say that and mean it. If we can just persuade by our own interior disposition, by our own interior mentality, by our own interior motivations, if we can just persuade Almighty God that we love Him, we have done it. And another thing our prayers should include, our intention and motivation should include, let us ask Almighty God, let us ask our blessed Lord, that I love Him the way He wants me to love Him. The way He, God, Christ, wants me to love Him. And that He will put upon me whatever, here it comes. And that He will put upon me whatever that love for Him demands of me. That we will accept the cross that He is offering me or us. That is where it is. Remember here some time ago, I presented to you a crucifix. And I showed you where on one side of that cross was our blessed Lord. Then I turned that cross around, and there was nobody on the other side of that cross. My beloved people, from all eternity, the other side of that cross belongs to me, belongs to you, and you, and you, and you. And to the degree that we are able to reach out and accept the other side of that cross, to that degree do we manifest our love. That is that. Isn't it strange to those who do not understand, however, that it's the other side of that cross that I must reach for and not a dollar bill? But how many of us are crucified to the dollar bill? And we accept that suffering as being normal and appropriate for anyone with walking sense to seek out that which is not at all intended for my salvation. The only thing that is intended for my salvation and intended for each of us, your salvation, is the cross. And unless and until we can come to appreciate that and understand that and accept that in its fullest and deepest extent, to that, then we will be given the peace and the serenity and the happiness and the joy and the contentment that we desire. It's in that piece of wood and no other place. Then, by the fact that we are nailed to that, and sometimes, my blessed people, we bleed. How many of you in here do not bleed? It is a matter of accepting it and holding on to it, because that's where I hope one day that we will be together, giving eternal praise to an eternal God whose love for me and for you is infinite. Many times we might think that when that cross is banged on our shoulders, and how often do we get up in the morning and almost say, what will it be today for me? How often, when we accept that cross, or when that cross is placed upon us, that we don't growl and grumble and say, why are you punishing me? That cross is not an instrument of punishment. It looks like it, but it's not. That cross, as far as I am concerned, is my personal passport to my eternal reward. And we have to look upon that as such and nothing else. And we should thank Almighty God for it. It isn't easy to thank God for all of the vicissitudes that flood us every day, our jobs, our work, our families, our poverty, our children, our husbands, our wives, our friends, anybody and everybody we know to think of, how we are flooded every day with problems concerning these. All of these are in that cross, which he has placed upon our shoulders individually, and even collectively. Our church today is at the top of Mount Calvary. And each one of us, whether we like to look upon it that way or not, it doesn't matter. Each one of us is in one way or another on top of that mountain. It is the mountain, it is a mountain of suffering, not the cross. Because the cross lifts us above the suffering that that mountain brings to us. We must not be discouraged. We're constantly being reminded that I will be with you. Yes. And as I think you will see in today's, I think it is in today's bulletin, there's one line in there that I want you to pay close attention to. And that is this, and I will quit. There is no force on earth that is stronger than the force of love. And it must be that force that motivates us in everything we do. My beloved people,